from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
And rolling Thursday, August 1st, 2024. It's the first of August, Connor. It's the first of August. We have football. Football is being played tonight in the National Football League. But welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at @Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer, as always, of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at @CDunning929. Connor, we have football tonight, brother.
We have football tonight. I will be streaming college football, and I know that's what you're talking about. No other football going on.
Are you
going
to be are you streaming now?
I have been.
Oh.
So Isaiah Hero, local hero.
Are you just streaming for your friends?
Yes. Local hero Isaiah Downey has a PC. He doesn't have an Xbox or a PS5, so he's been left out of the college football craze the last few weeks.
Okay.
So basically what he has been doing, what my friends have been doing, is we have created College Football Red Zone. And we all stream and jump on Discord so that we can hear Isaiah, and he commentates what's happening during all of our games. Sometimes we play each other, sometimes we're doing Road to Glory, sometimes we're doing Dynasty. But he, you know, he's crushing it. Honestly, give him a contract.
Honestly, you could have shortened that up into a few words. You could have just called yourself sickos. You guys are sickos. That is fantastic. Don't get it twisted. But you're sickos in the best possible way. I mean that. I truly mean that. Now we have 3 hours to talk about.
What's your record?
My new record online. Do you want to know?
Uh-huh.
As of last, I lost the game last night. I'm 45-5.
And I'm the sicko. And you've played 50 online games?
Hey, relax. Relax.
You ever heard of a glass house, Gabe?
Yeah. I shouldn't cast stones. I get it. I understand. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We have football tonight, Hall of Fame game, Texans versus Bears. It'll be at 7 p.m. Central Time. We'll talk kind of about that. Not really that much to talk about, because I don't think any starters are going to be playing. But I think we can have some interesting conversations about each of those teams. We'll talk about the Olympics as well. We have history made by two women. Well, one already made history, but the other, Katie Ledecky, she definitely got herself over the top, put herself in rarefied air as of today. And it's impressive, and it's really cool. I know that there's been some people that have been frustrated, maybe by the lack of swimming success. And I know Connor was one of those and talked about it. I know that Michael Phelps set like this ridiculous bar that's really hard to reach. But to be able to see Katie Ledecky blow through old records this quickly and still talk about competing in 2028, that's fun. That's fun in itself. She's eyeing 2028 already. She's ready to go.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Let her swim.
No doubt about it. We'll also just have NFL news in general. We have the biggest O-line contract in the history of football. We have a little bit of Tiger football. We'll talk about expectations and everything else, considering yesterday was day one of training camp. But as far as guests are concerned, 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join from the Daily Memphian, and he is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Then 6 o'clock, Colton Denning will join the show. And I called Connor a sicko in the best possible way. My guy Colt is a sicko in the best possible way for college football. We are going to cover everything under the sun. We're going to give you a college football primer at about 6 o'clock. He has a site called Two Stripes CPD. I would tell you to go subscribe. I mean, it's a nostalgia site, but also he covers current events, writes articles about them. And then he has a YouTube channel as well, where he puts up all of his throwback clips. You can just type in Colton Denning in the YouTube search bar, and he does a fantastic job. Connor, you've been able to see some of Colton's work, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, he put out a sort of throwback D'Angelo Williams highlight.
That's the one
I saw. A lot of people in Memphis that really, really loved. But he is, no one thinks about these things. Like watching Ron Dane highlights, he puts those together for you.
Incredible.
He does the Lord's work for college football fanatics.
I've gotten to the age where retrospectives are a big part of my consuming whenever I'm on YouTube, so he just is right up my alley.
Oh, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. All right, Texans versus Bears, Hall of Fame game tonight. 7 p.m. Central Time. Are you ready for Tyson Bagent versus Davis Mills?
Of course I am.
Absolutely.
It's what I need.
Okay. All right, we get to see Tyson Bagent with the arm sleeve, with the tilted hat, and see how he plays tonight. Davis Mills, complete opposite of that.
Do you know what Bagent's nickname is?
No.
Secret Bagent Man. I found that out from Jason Smith. Hell of a nickname. Well done.
Is that like actually his nickname?
It's his actual nickname, is Secret Bagent Man. That's great.
I need confirmation from somebody in Chicago on that.
Jason Smith? I feel like that's confirmation enough.
Okay. My brother works at 670 The Score. I've never heard this, but maybe it's just Tyson Bagent, so no one is.
It's probably that.
Let me know. But we're going to have Tyson Bagent versus Davis Mills, and we're going to be it's going to be a far cry from what this, you know, potential matchup would look like during the regular season. And I want to start with the Texans. Thinking about what the Texans could be next year is quite literally astounding. Coming off of the Deshaun Watson era, where everything just imploded from inside out, where you ended up trading your star quarterback because of 24, 25 civil sexual assault cases. You had no idea what direction you were going to take. But by the grace of God, you get the number two pick, and you somehow make the right decision, and you pick C.J. Stroud. Now, if you'll remember, what's funny about the C.J. Stroud, you know, looking back at it, reminiscing on when that pick was made, there was a lot of questions about C.J. Stroud coming out of college, right? It wasn't just like this guy is going to be from day one an absolute stud. Know what we were talking about? We're talking about Wonderlic scores and different analytics that tried to poke holes in his game. We had a cognitive test that we were talking about constantly. So it's not like the general public, the normal GM, the normal scout in the NFL thought C.J. Stroud was going to be what C.J. Stroud is. But you get that, you see what he is in his rookie year, and this offseason you just load everything around him, everything possible. You already have Nico Collins and Tank Dell. You bring in Stephon Diggs. You have a good offensive line. On the other side of the ball, you've brought in multiple additions on the defensive side. You have a secondary with some young, up-and-coming guys that look Like, they will step into that Pro Bowl, All-Pro level. Jalen Petrie, Derek Stingley Jr., guys like that. This Texans team, to think about where they were 3 years ago to now, it might be the best turnaround we've seen in the past decade, to be quite frank with you. Now, we'll see what it looks like going into this year, because I think in the back of everyone's mind, we've always had discussions about sophomore slumps. We've always had discussions about, okay, once you get the film out on somebody, C.J. Stroud in this case, can defenses start to pick up on his tendencies, play him a whole lot better? Sometimes year twos will show us what we need to know about a quarterback. But I feel really positively about this Texans team. And when you look at the AFC, you need to ask yourself the question, outside of the Chiefs, why not the Texans? Why not? The Ravens have shown that they can't get it done when they get into playoff situation. Lamar Jackson has struggled in those situations. The Bills, wide receiver room struggling. And they, seriously, they have a case of really can't get over the Chiefs. The Bengals, we'll see if they're even in that position this year. They're in a really tough division. So when you look at the Texans and the roster they've put together and everything that they have done this offseason, ask yourself the question, why not? I truly believe that.
I think it would be fair to put them around 3 or 4, because I do think that the Ravens are better, and of course the Chiefs are better. But then it comes down to, okay, Texans versus the Bills, and where does it go that way? You probably give the Bills the benefit of the doubt right now just because they've had the past success. But if I look up at the end of the season and the Texans are the third best team in the AFC, I would not be shocked. I mean, they are absolutely the favorites to win the AFC South too, right?
I would, yes.
Have to be.
100%. I think that the Colts are kind of the weird, trendy pick right now. The Jaguars have fallen completely off. Isn't that wild? See how quickly that happened? Jaguars, no one really believes in them anymore. And they were the darlings 2 years ago. But yeah, they should be, without question, the overwhelming favorite to win that division. And I wouldn't be surprised if we look up and they're the number two team in the AFC. I'm sorry. I just look at this roster and I buy into it. I mean, you have Will Anderson Jr., who was Defensive Rookie of the Year, and across from him, Danielle Hunter, who's a guy who's had 17 and a half sacks in certain seasons. You bring in Azeez Al-Shaair, a middle linebacker. People from the Titans understand him, know him. I already talked about the secondary. I think this defense has a chance to step into that top 10, and the offense, if we take last year for an example, they should be in the top 10 easily. They have better pieces than they did a year ago. You have Dalton Schultz still, but you have Tank Dell back healthy, Stephon Diggs, you had him, Nico Collins, and I certainly like, compared to Devin Singletary, I like Joe Mixon in there a whole lot more. A guy who was, you know, sort of an unsung hero for that Bengals offense over the years. C.J. Stroud talking about, he said this is a five-headed monster of an offense with the three wide receivers, Joe Mixon and C.J. Stroud. I believe that. I truly believe that.
Well, to your point about sophomore slump, we usually see that because a rookie quarterback overperforms from what they were supposed to do, and the team doesn't necessarily surround them immediately with more talent.
Yep.
The Texans saw what they had and said, oh, they're ready to win right now. Let's go get as many guys as we can to make sure he doesn't have that sophomore slump.
Yeah, and I will say this. I would not be surprised if the Texans, I'd imagine, you know, just looking at how they operate, especially for a second-year quarterback, they'll probably play C.J. Stroud at some point during the preseason.
Probably so.
But I don't even think it's necessary. I don't even think you need to throw him out there. I think they've been getting really good work in practice. They have a lot of continuity on that offensive side of the ball anyway. Now, on the other side, the Bears, they need to play Caleb Williams at some point, probably a little bit more than they think. Obviously, you don't want to risk injury. You don't want to completely derail your season and your future plans before it all starts. But I don't know. You have to get a guy like him used to in-game action when the bullets are flying as fast as possible. That game action, the intensity you have is completely different. And Caleb Williams, one thing I continue to talk about is he's got to learn in game especially in the NFL. He can't just trust his arm all the time. He can't just trust his legs all the time. There's going to be people that are faster than him now, and there's going to be people that are able to get him down. And he cannot play every play like it's his last. He's going to have to find those checkdowns. And when he gets into those scramble drill situations, you can't just uncork it every time. Patrick Mahomes, a couple of years ago, when he had all the interceptions, that's what he continuously did. He tried to make plays downfield when they weren't there, when he got out in the scramble drill. I think Caleb Williams is going to have similar growing pains. It's just about how quickly can he get over them. And I think if you play him in preseason, that can definitely help facilitate that.
What do you think a successful season from Caleb Williams looks like? Not a great, just a successful season.
Successful. Throw for over 3,500 yards and have more touchdowns than interceptions. That's just like generally speaking how I feel about rookie quarterbacks, right? Like, just if you come in and you make mistakes, that's expected. Just don't make too many damn mistakes. Don't have a Peyton Manning rookie year, even though we saw that age pretty damn well. Don't have a Peyton Manning rookie
different
year.
Different circumstances,
where you're
though.
Throwing, like, 10 more interceptions than you are touchdowns.
Yeah.
But I expect Caleb Williams to blow through that type of expectation. I expect this to be a 4,000-yard passer, considering what he has on the outside. He's got everything he could possibly ask for.
I was just about to ask, bringing up Peyton Manning, just he was kind of put into a crap situation, though. It really does feel like Caleb Williams is being put into one of the better positions we have ever seen a rookie quarterback walk
100%.
Into.
100%.
So do you think that that raises the bar for what is a successful season for Caleb Williams because of what's around him?
I mean, a little bit, sure, but I mean, in the end of the day, you will take some level of, mistake. You'll take the mistakes with Caleb Williams in year one.
Well, they're expected.
But as you continue, year two, year three, those expectations just start shooting up directly. But I am of the opinion, this is just me, I think, when you're a rookie quarterback in the National Football League, you're going to have growing pains. It's very rare to see the C.J. Stroud type thing we saw last year. It's very rare to have someone just step in and immediately raise the ceiling of a bad team. And I know the Bears have completely flipped the roster, and if they had a roster like this and Justin Fields was the quarterback, people would be thinking higher of them still. But I think you need to always give a little bit of grace to especially a Chicago Bears rookie quarterback, right? Historically, history does not serve quarterbacks in Chicago very well. I think you need to throw him a little bit of grace along the way, his rookie season at the very least. Now, once we get out of this rookie season, no expectation's going to be high enough. That's my opinion. But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Now, on to the Olympics. We have a couple of things worth mentioning. Simone Biles won the all-around for the women. She had a total of 59.131, and that was just over a point ahead of Rebeca Andrade from Brazil at 57.932. So Simone Biles is the gold medal winner for the all-around women's gymnastics event. I've said what I need to say about her. It's always so fun to watch her compete, and the explosion, the amount of air she can get under, she's just unlike anything we've ever seen. I think this will be her last Olympics, but I think she's going out on top in a massive way. To be 27 years old, to do what she's doing, to jump 12 feet in the air, which is ridiculous. I saw Kevin Durant say something like, I wouldn't doubt if Simone Biles can go up and take an alley-oop and dunk at the rim. I mean, the way she explodes off the ground when she's on the mat, things like that, it's ridiculous. But she's an impressive as an athlete as I've ever seen. And I was completely, happy for her. And to see the silver goat chain around her neck alongside the gold medal, that was fun in itself. She's having more fun, which is nice to see. I think if you watch, her Netflix documentary and you see the transition to where she's at now, she had to learn how to have more fun to get where she's at, get back to the top of her sport, because it became such a job. It became so mentally taxing. And she didn't really prioritize her mental health. And I think she's gotten back to that in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, she is the undisputed greatest of all time we have ever seen in gymnastics. It's not just U.S. I think it's probably gymnastics in general. She has redefined what gymnasts can really do out there. And I think that the impact that she is going to have, we are going to see it for a very long time, specifically within the U.S. You already see it with the teammates that she has right now. I mean, Suni Lee also had a phenomenal day out there. She brought in the bronze. And, you know, it was really fun watching because it was a dramatic final. It was really dramatic. So I highly recommend people watching the replay tonight because it's electric television. But I was telling Jeffrey this. You have nerves about, is she going to be able to do it? Is she going to be able to do it? Because there was a moment where she was behind, but again, you know, there was a, she's going to perform, and if she nails it, it's going to put her over the top. The moment she begins performing, every nervous thing I have in my body completely leaves. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm watching the greatest that has ever done it right now. Everything is so smooth. It's so precise. And I am just in awe of her every single time she's in the air. I do not understand how somebody of her size gets that high up in the air. Yep. It is phenomenal. One of the greatest athletes we have ever had for Team USA. It is. I am happy that I have been alive to be able to watch Simone Biles.
Yeah, and what I like about her now, too, I already talked about the mental health part of this whole thing, but the FU she has in her now, the F around and find out team, and what she said to Michaela Skinner.
Man,
going after Michaela Skinner.
Gotta suck to be her.
Well, and Michaela Skinner, it blows me away that she had the nerve to go on YouTube and make a video and try to, oh, they have the lack of talent, they're lazy. Are we being serious right now?
She was trying to say this is the worst team they've had in a while, and then they went out there and just won the gold.
But also, it's like,
suck it.
There does come a point with Michaela Skinner. It's like, you have a silver medal. You competed in one Olympics. Like, you need to know your place to a certain extent. You need to sit back. If you're talking about a team, a U.S. women's gymnastics team that has Simone Biles on it, just stay away from lack of talent. That's for one.
Come at the queen, best not miss.
Stay away
Omar
from that.
Omar coming.
And I think lazy is probably the wrong way to go as well.
Yeah.
But I like that sort of edge she had to her in this last bit of Olympic, you know, performances we're going to see from her.
And the team has been going after her, like all of them on social media. And whenever, and I don't know if you saw this, but she has blocked Simone Biles now. That will save you. You won't see anything now that
you blocked. Yeah, Suni Lee said, put a finger down if Simone Biles just ended you. Michaela Maroney says it doesn't get more, and Michaela Maroney was on the first Olympics.
My favorite thing from Michaela Maroney was that she very quickly had to come out and be like, it's not me.
Yeah,
different Michaela.
She said it doesn't get more iconic than this. She effed around and found out for real. Feels like I need to apologize just to redeem my first name. Michaela Skinner got body bagged. There's no question about it. Now, on to another woman making absolute on a legendary run and who is absolutely a legend, Katie Ledecky, now the most decorated American woman in Olympic history, in U.S. Olympic history for sure. 13 medals. She got the silver in the 4x200 last night. And you run out of things to say, just like with Simone Biles. This woman's unbelievable. I don't know what to tell you. I still can't get over. I think my favorite race to watch, even though it's the longest, is the 1500 that we talked about yesterday.
Because
she's just lapping women in the pool. But she's the Phelps of the women's side of things for swimming. And she said that she's going to compete in 2028, or she's going to try to compete in 2028. So we'll see more of Katie Ledecky going forward.
She'll be 31 in 2028, so hopefully she can still dominate in the way that she does. But, you know, with the gap that she already has in the 1500, I don't think that 4 years is going to shorten it too much. So I would hope to see her go out there and still be able to win it. And it's just, I can't lie. I feel very lucky. And I know that we have some older listeners out there, but the first Olympics that I really remember was like 2000-ish, around that time. Has it just kind of always been like this, where we have these superstars who show up, they become the greatest of all time? Or have we been seeing, in a short period of time, A bigger
a golden
number? Because
era.
You've had Michael Phelps, Katie Ledecky, Simone Biles, bang, 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 real quick. And it just feels like every single Olympics we're like, oh, this is the greatest person we've ever seen.
Yeah. Gabby Douglas in her own right, too.
That team, the Allie Raisman teams, all of them.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, but I don't know.
Is it just, because I know that we had in the past some superstars, but it just feels like within the last 20 years or so, it has really become, oh no, we're watching the greatest that have ever done it, not just for Team USA, but in the sport.
Yeah, you have most decorated Olympian of all time in Michael Phelps.
Right.
Most decorated American woman in Olympic history in Katie Ledecky, and then most decorated gymnast ever in Simone Biles. So I guess, like, yes, there's rarefied air that we have gotten to see since we have been sort of watching the Olympics.
Because,
but I mean, there's a lot of legends from the past.
I'm not saying there's not. I'm just saying, are we going to look up in 20 years from now and people are going to be breaking these records?
I don't know.
Because it breaks your brain trying to think of it. It would have to be actual aliens. We have to discover aliens and then somehow
become
part of humanity.
We'll see what happens with Ledecky if there's another woman that can come along.
Right.
You know, and win the amount of medals that Katie Ledecky has. Michael Phelps at 28 medals feels untouchable. And then Simone Biles
feels untouchable.
That has to be untouchable. There's no way.
Especially at the age that she's doing it.
11 medals, however many golds, like no one can touch that. She's participated in 3 Olympics. There's no gymnasts that do that.
That's what I mean.
It doesn't happen.
I have had to take a few moments during this Olympics specifically to kind of just pause and be like, I'm watching not only American history, but world athletic history right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in the presence of greatness, and it feels special to watch. And I do think it is a reason why this Olympics specifically feels like the biggest one in a few years, and I think it's because it is Simone Biles, it's Katie Ledecky. You have these athletes who have been at the top of their sport for years now, solidifying their place in the pantheon of history.
Yeah. They've been doing a hell of a job. I can say that much.
It's just cool, man.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And then also, final thing, did you see what Jason Tatum said about his DNP versus Serbia?
No.
He said, you win a championship, get a new contract, get on the NBA 2K25 cover, you're on Sports Illustrated. After all of this, it's definitely a humbling experience. I'd imagine it is.
That's F.U. Steve Kerr in code. F.U. How dare you? That, you know what that is? That is, how effing dare you,
that's
dude.
Jason Tatum's very polite nature showing through when he wants to be like, Steve, you're an a-hole for not playing me.
That is,
I can't believe that you sat me for a whole Olympic game.
I see through. That's a great quote from Jason Tatum. Well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes, because there's some people that would be able to take the high road in that situation and sort of say, you know, I'm just here for the team. I'm just, you know, that type of thing. But he's basically saying, I should have played. I didn't. And then, of course, Steve Kerr decides to start him and completely overcompensate. And Jason Tatum was not ready for that and had, what, 4 points?
He was moving the ball. He had 5 6.
I know, he was fine. He was
good. He played good.
That starting lineup against South Sudan was not very good.
Well, here's the thing.
It just wasn't.
The reasons that you and I gave for why Jason Tatum didn't play that game held true in the game that he actually played. Our problem with Jason Tatum not playing was what Steve Kerr said after the game. He tried to make excuses for it. He didn't talk. If you had just told us, listen, Tatum's jumper's not as good as it should be, we need 3-point shooters out there with the team, specifically for this matchup, we would have accepted that. That would have been fine. At least you gave us an explanation. But going out there and saying, well, you know, I feel dumb for not playing him, and da-da-da, and then talking about lineups, and after come on, man.
The lineups thing. It's just the lineups thing.
And he's already gone back. The starting lineup for the third game has already been announced, and Embiid's back in it, Drew Holiday's back in it.
I'll continue to just throw this out there, and I think this will hold true for the entire rest of this tournament. If Steve Kerr brings up lineups and matchups, the U.S. should dictate the other team's matchup, not
yes.
the other way around.
Yes.
There should be no reason that South Sudan is dictating who you're putting on the floor. I'm sorry. They're playing Puerto Rico coming up on the third. I don't give a damn who Puerto Rico puts out there. You play who you want to play. You play your best lineup.
Right. Now, I do want to say very quickly, Team USA has performed in their first two games.
Yes.
South Sudan
yes.
does deserve credit. They played their ass off. I really enjoy watching them play. I am happy they are in the Olympics. They are a feel-good story. Team USA has been executing. They have been playing well. There are just, you can't help but watch these games sometimes and just feel like it should be better than it is.
Yes.
That being said, they are still winning by double digits. They are still the favorite to win the gold for a reason. There have been some things on the offensive end of the basketball that have been really fun
to see.
Dare
I say this? It feels more uncomfortable than it has in the past.
The Steve Kerr thing just feels uncomfortable to me. Our dislike of Steve Kerr
gets in the way.
Is clouding the vision of Team USA basketball right now. But I think that if you ask most people that have been watching all these games like we have, I've watched every single minute of Team USA play. I just can't help but think the good things that are happening may be coming from the assistant coaches rather than Steve Kerr, based on what he's saying.
Brian Windhorst, I don't know if it was like strict.
Talk about BAM? That was so stupid.
That was stupid. The strict propaganda, he basically said that Steve Kerr has thrown two gyms so far.
No.
I don't view it that way. I really don't.
There are some really creative offensive things that they have been doing. There is specifically a cut that they have been doing across the lane that is just putting teams in.
They've been solid. They've been good.
Because they're having to pick between, like on a fast break, for example, Steph Curry is such a smart player. There have been a couple of clips that have come out about Steph Curry running a fast break with LeBron James. And instead of going across court like he would usually do in a Warriors game, he's just staying next to LeBron and going to the corner because he's forcing the defender to choose. You either can stop LeBron James going to the rim, or you can defend a Steph Curry three. And they're going to choose LeBron James at the rim because it's the easier one to defend and it's the easiest point that you can give up. So Steph's just getting open threes. The problem is, though, they're not running that enough because they're not out there together. And that's what the frustrating part has been. There have been moments of true brilliance from Team USA offense.
Yeah.
I think it has more to do with the players and maybe Eric Spoelstra than it does Steve Kerr. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you. Now, the best place to bet the games this summer is FanDuel, America's number one sports, because right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet on all your favorite international teams and all your favorite sports, from basketball to badminton and soccer to swimming. FanDuel has it all. So don't miss your chance to score $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's GABEK. Again, GABEK to sign up and start betting the games today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now, yesterday was the first day of fall camp for Memphis football, for the Tigers. And they had a pretty interesting presser. A few things were said. Seth Hennigan got emotional. We'll talk about all worth noting next, right here, 92.9 FM ESPN. So yesterday was day one of Memphis football fall camp. And they got some work done. And then they talked to the press afterwards, and there was a lot said. It even got off the rails to a certain extent. I think at one point, Ryan basically said they were talking about the Olympics, and he said if he thinks he could be one of the best breakdancers in the world, he just has never tried. Like, it got off the rails. It absolutely got off the rails. But one of the things that was sort of mentioned that I think, Connor, you're going to be able to tell I'm a big fan of this. Apparently, Ryan, this offseason, took a trip to Eugene, to Oregon, to be around Dan Lanning in that Oregon football program. And I've got to say, I know a lot of people know I'm a big fan of Dan, with how he talks to his players, with how he relates to his players, with his step into the 21st century as a coach. Like, there's nothing off the table. He just takes the hits as they come, and he handles it. And I think he does one of the best jobs in America right now. And that's why you look at Oregon heading to the Big Ten. They should be the team outside of Ohio State that could potentially go win the Big Ten, and they're a top five team in the country. There are reasons that is the case. But I was glad to see that relationship is still alive and well. I think there's a lot of lessons that both of them can learn from each other, but certainly Ryan going to Oregon to see how they operate day to day now that he's got this NIL budget, I think that it's kind of interesting. I think there's some lessons there that Ryan could potentially take from Dan. And I know it's not just NIL. It's about how you run the program. What type of messaging are you putting out? What's the culture? What do you feel gets across to your players the best? There's a lot of different things you talk about. But I think when we talk about the lessons that Ryan could learn in the immediate, I think the roster management, player management, NIL management part of this thing, even though some of those things are out of his control, I think he could learn a lot from Dan. I think Dan has been put in a position of power in that realm where Ryan is just now getting that.
Surround yourself with good company. Yep. Usually bodes well. And yeah, I mean, Oregon has some of the most creative offensive sets we've ever seen. So yeah, some of that.
Yes, yes. And that's old Will Stein.
Especially with the crew that you have this season.
Yes. Yeah, you need to be multiple. You need to find different ways to exploit a defense. And I will say, I still think Will Stein is the best at doing it in the country right now. I know people think I'm overstating that. I'm not. I think Oregon will probably be statistically the best offense in America this year because they were close to it last year. But we need to think about the quarterbacks that Will Stein, their OC, has worked with. When he was at UTSA, Frank Harris Jr. became a player of the year. UTSA became an undeniable force in the group of five because of Will Stein's work with that offense. And you saw him leave 2 years ago. What happened? Fall off. And then look at Bo Nix. Bo Nix. Gus Malzahn couldn't get it out of him. Brian Harsin sure as hell couldn't get it out of him. Transfers to Oregon. Stays there for a couple years. And he's a top 10 pick. He's the 10th pick overall. Even at an advanced age, even after playing 5 years in college. Will Stein's an absolute stud. He is fantastic at what he does. Now, also, I think we need to talk about this. This was Seth Hennigan yesterday talking about sort of where he's at this particular moment in his career. And he didn't really hide anything about how he feels about this year, how much pressure, expectation, how much of his life, quite frankly, is hinging on these next 3 months. He said, I've said it to some of my teammates and some of my close family members. This is it. It's a make it or break it season for me and my career. I look at my future, my 5-year plan, and it all comes down to the next 3 months. Now, when it comes to performing at a high level, throwing for 40 touchdowns, continuing to grow your lead as Memphis's leading passer all time. Those things can certainly help you at the next level. And I don't know how that's all going to work out. I'm very, very curious. I'd imagine he's on plenty of NFL draft boards. I don't know where at. Probably late day three, probably undrafted free agent in that realm. These next 3 months could sway that pretty substantially, though. And I think he understands that, although that may not be his full worry. Here's the thing that I have to remind myself sometimes about Seth. He's the leading passer in Memphis history all time, already, right, through 3 years. How much of his legacy, though, as the leading passer all time in Memphis, is hinging on this year? Even if he throws for 3,500, 4,000 yards this year, and this Memphis team comes up short, doesn't get to an AAC championship, they win 9 games. You know what? We'll look at that record book, and I hate to say it, and I hate to put it out there because he's been a phenomenal player, and he's accomplished phenomenal things. But we'll look back at that record book and that leading passer. I think a lot of people will say it's relatively empty considering what was not accomplished, considering what did not happen while he was the quarterback here. Well, I think a guy like Brady White, for example, getting over top to the Cotton Bowl made...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
His legacy in itself, right? It made him into what he is now on the top 25 list at the Daily Memphian of athletes in Memphis in the 21st century. If he never is able to get over top, if Tulsa makes that field goal, we feel differently about Brady White and his legacy here at Memphis, even though he led the record books and everything by the time he left. I just think there's a lot riding from a legacy standpoint on this year for Seth Hennigan and what those records in the record book actually mean.
No, I totally agree with that. I do think there is a difference between the two, though, in that I don't think that we would look at Seth and blame him for the shortcomings of the team. I do think that people would have looked at Brady and blamed him for the short. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think
because you had Tony and Antonio Gibson.
If they don't get it done, we'll say coaching staff, defense.
Sure.
And I don't like, because I think that Seth Hennigan, I think all of us agree he's their best player. And he is one of the reasons they have had the success that they have. And he is one of the reasons why they have so much momentum and hype going into next season. A lot of it is Seth Hennigan. But all of us expect him to have a good season.
Sure.
So if they fail, I do not think that we will look at Seth and put it on his shoulders.
No.
We'll go coaching staff, defense, and then maybe Seth.
But I'm saying, how much more do Brady's numbers mean now that he got to, since he got to a Cotton Bowl, got to the heights that...
No, they matter, yeah.
They matter a whole lot more. Like, it feels different in the eyes of every fan.
Yeah.
Whereas, even if Seth passes those numbers, wins 9 games this year, doesn't make an AAC championship, it's just like, I think a lot of fans are like, damn, what could have been?
Yes, it would...
And it's not necessarily that I'm saying it's Seth's fault. Clearly not Seth's fault if you're breaking all the records at Memphis and all the passing yard records, the passing touchdown records, the whole thing. Clearly not your fault, but we view those numbers differently than we would view someone who actually got over top, won an AAC championship, capitalized, got to the college football playoff, all those things. Then those numbers look absolutely legendary. Then he puts himself in probably a top 15. We're doing the Daily Memphian top 25 athletes of the 21st century. He'd break into the top 15, top 10 at that point.
If they make the college football playoff, he's in the top 10.
Right.
He's in the top 10. What is it like being in a locker room that has pressure for an upcoming season? Like real pressure to be successful. I mean, you have been part of Memphis Tiger football teams that had a lot
nothing
of expectations.
Nothing like this, though.
No, but
I gotta
but
be honest. There was some expectations.
Give us. It's how does it affect the day to day? Is it talked about?
To be honest,
do you try to ignore it?
To be honest with you, and
is it a motivating factor?
I think it's week to week, depending on where you're at in a season.
Okay,
you know, I had an experience my sophomore year. We're 8-0, riding high, and then you lose to Navy. You fall to 8-1, but you still feel like those expectations are there to finish out the season, but you're losing confidence in yourself. So it sort of depends on the situation. I think for the most part, the best teams just block it out completely. My senior year, for example, just blocked it out. Didn't even think about it. Wasn't even a discussion in the locker room. But that sophomore year, the year that Fuente ended up leaving, heading to Virginia Tech, it was more discussed. It was more out front. But I think it's team to team. And that's why I had the big question yesterday when I did my five questions about Memphis football heading into the season. Number one is, how do you handle it?
Mm-hmm.
Pressure bursts pipes. Pressure makes diamonds. Where do you fall? I've been on teams where both have been true. I've had a team that pulled through, stopped talking about it, didn't give a damn, and I've had a team who everything started to get to them. You start reading your own press clippings, and then that leads to a loss, and then that leads to another loss, and you start to get uncomfortable, and you start to doubt yourself. So I've seen both of these things be apparent in locker rooms I was a part of.
Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing that from yesterday, it feels very apparent that the team, and Ryan Silversfield specifically, are very aware about the conversation happening about the team?
Listen,
a talking point in the locker room.
It can be apparent, right? But are you actually giving a damn behind the scenes? Like, even the best teams I was on at the University of Memphis, we knew that we were picked at the top of the conference. Never mm-hmm. picked first, of course. But we knew we were picked at the top of the conference. But are you giving... Is your day-to-day affected by it? Do you care day-to-day about that? I know the more you get asked about it, the more it may be right in the front of your brain. I get that. But I don't know. It's just about how that team compartmentalizes it. It's that simple. Can they handle that? Can they handle it? Because there's teams that can and there's teams that can't. It's so, you know, situational that it's hard for me to comment on this particular team. But I think the fact that they know it is probably a positive thing, but it can become a negative if you just continue to harp on it and harp on it and harp on it and harp on it, where every day it's just a constant conversation.
It does feel like this is the team and the season that has the loftiest expectations we've ever had for Memphis football.
Oh, without question. It's not even close.
It's not even close.
It's
because
not
the
even
Cotton
close.
Bowl team. There was an outside shot of it, but I don't think it was an expectation.
They weren't even picked first in the conference.
Right.
And you still had Cincinnati and UCF and everybody else in that conference at that time. So it was like, it's just a different place altogether that this year is. It's just like, if you don't get to a conference championship and win it, most people in this city are disappointed. Which, is there any other time in the history of Memphis football where you can even come close to saying something like that? Never.
I don't think so.
Never. Anything less than a conference championship's a disappointment? Hell no. Even 2019 wasn't like that. You can't do a hindsight. You can't look back at that and act like you knew that all that was on the way.
No.
So
no. You'd be lying if you said.
This year's just, it's different.
Well, because it's not just that either, though. It's everything happening around the program, too.
Yes,
you got to keep
like all the momentum. Yes, the NIL stuff. What could potentially come if you have a good year? You have a new AD who I think has some charisma, who has some ACC ties. I don't know. There's a lot of things that could happen with the renovations at the stadium. A lot of things that could happen in a short period of time if they reach and exceed expectations, especially exceed expectations. Old Dominion transfer, by the way, DB, Taj Rael. He transferred here to Memphis this past offseason. He was named a fourth-team All-AAC performer in the preseason Phil Steele magazine. He was a start at safety for Old Dominion last year. He's leaving Memphis. That was announced day two of camp. I don't know what to make of that. That stinks. It's just less depth. And that was a guy who you expected to probably make an immediate impact here at Memphis because of, you know, starting 25-plus games at Old Dominion. And there's been a pretty good Old Dominion pipeline. It started by one Blake Watson. But that stinks. That stinks to see. You want all hands on deck with that DB room because you want them to be improved, and you have a guy who you thought was going to make an immediate impact gone immediately.
Well, because it's no secret. it really feels like this Memphis Tigers football season is going to hinge on the defense. Do they show up? Are they a good defense? Give us a good defense. Doesn't have to be great. Be good.
Yeah.
And this hurts them being good.
Just be average, man.
Just be average, man. Just be average.
Going back to yesterday, just be average. Last 5 years, there's been one team that is ranked in the top half of defensive statistics, total defense, in the American Athletic Conference. That was 2019, and they made the Cotton Bowl. What has become apparent year by year, offense, 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 offense. Explosion, 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 explosion. Doesn't matter. You're going to have offense. You're going to put up points. Can the defense just not be terrible? Like that's as simple.
It's as simple as that.
And I hate to do this. Like my teams, you know how frustrating it is. You know how damn frustrating it is. You get into a conference championship and your defense gives up 62. You know how freaking tough that is.
Tell me how you really feel.
I'm crying my eyes out after the game after scoring 55 points on the offensive side of the ball. That's not how it should be. That's not how life needs to be.
What's it like between the offense and the defense when something like that goes down?
Oh, God.
Who says the first word? Does it come from the defense, or does it come from, or is it just we're not going to talk
that,
for
in that
days?
Situation when there's 62 on the other side?
Is silence
offense
best?
Screaming, defense can't say anything. They can't say words. What are they going to say? It's just that's miserable. It's terrible.
Was there one guy that was like, but I had 8 tackles?
No, don't say that. Don't say that. Somebody may throw a punch after that. That's how that works. But no, it's kind of funny that you bring this up. It can get real testy.
I bet so.
It can get very real. Like I know people, everybody wants to always say, oh, you need to be a supportive teammate. All teammates need to be supportive of one another. No, not all the time. It's not how it works all the time. It sounds good until your defense gives up 62 and you lose.
I would go full Joe Pesci from Goodfellas.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you asked that because that's something that no one really tries to tap into. It's not all fun and games.
Like, does it fall on the captain of the defense to say something first? Or
no.
Is it just silence is best?
Silence. Mouth shut. No words is the best. Plan of attack.
Does it change the relationship between the players forever?
Not forever. Not forever. If you win enough, it is what it is. I think my problem, I guess, in my college career, it's like I just got so used to them being bad.
But they were extra bad that day. Like,
I just got so used to them never being able to stop anybody. So if they got a stop, it was like, hell yeah, they showed up today, you know? I don't know. It's just like your mind gets warped when you deal with that for so long. And I dealt with that for 3 straight years. My first year, 2014, great defense, awesome defense. Then from then on, it was just, oh my gosh. The drop-off was absolutely nuts. But hopefully, back to our original conversation, that's not this defense.
Hopefully this
defense is more 2019 than any year before that or after that.
We're not asking for greatness. We're asking for average.
Yes.
That's all we're asking for.
That is it. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. And we're not asking for average next. We're asking for absolutely elite. Because Jeff Calkins is joining the show. Stick around.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.